This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back, guys. DG SNKMOX 306. A lot of people talking about what I said about nurses, giving nurses their due. Another thing, I was watching a nursing video, and the nurse was saying that he works three 12-hour shifts a week, and that's it. Mm. How do you think you'd do with that?
I think I would like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. My kid kind of does that now, but at an animal hospital, not at a regular one.
Yeah,
Megan, kind of the same thing.
Megan's done it before. I don't know anybody who has done that didn't really like it a lot. Because I mean, it's like once you're already in hour eight, adding an extra 4 hours just isn't that big a deal most of the time. And then you're, you know, like doubling or more the amount of time you get off in a week.
That's the question, right? Are the longer days worth the trade-off of more days where you don't have anything?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Would you rather work 5 days and have two off and have shorter work days, which is what all of us do, most of us, or would you rather work three full days? Now, is the 36 hours, is that going to be considered full time? Do you have to get to 40? You know, it depends on your job,
yeah,
right?
For these guys, it was.
Right, right. So depending on your job, it would depend on what will qualify, but 3 days on, 4 days off sounds pretty damn good, even if those 3 days are long days.
Jared says he works 3 to 4 12-hour shifts a week as a critical care respiratory therapist.
Seems like, I mean, again, I think seems like people, when given that type of choice, tend to take it.
I love, people will get this. For example, I ended up going to law school largely because of LA law. And a lot of people went to med school because of ER. And watching The Pitt and getting all the TikToks that think I'm a doctor. I love the aesthetic. I love the suffering. Like, I love not the suffering of the patients, the suffering of the doctors and the nurses for the good of the patients, where they're on their fourth night in a row and they had really tough cases. I'm so intrigued and fascinated because, you know, you guys know me well. I'm so fascinated by people who can do things that I can't. And it doesn't have to be something highfalutin. It can just be like, I don't know, turn their eyelids inside out. But seeing these people who have, through training and obvious just genetic gifts, have a toughness and a discipline that I know I don't have. And that's not being self-deprecating, tell me I'm pretty. I know myself pretty well. I am tough in certain situations. I don't think I'm tough doing a bunch of night shifts in a row taking care of patients. And watching them do that, whether it's fictionalized or it's real, is just fascinating to me.
Well, it also just makes you roll your eyes at a show like The Pitt, for example, might up the drama a little bit as far as like, this is his fourth night in a row. Like, how, I don't know how often that actually happens, but let's say for the sake of the show, it's sensationalized just a little bit. But then you look at things like, let's pick on like Saturday Night Live, where they're like, we were up all night writing this sketch. And it's like, well, it's just not even close to being the same thing.
Not.
Like, I'm supposed to feel sorry for you and be like so impressed. Like, again, like they're just upping the drama for the sake of the narrative. I get it, but you look at, you know, what you're talking about, which is like a real thing that's really helping people. It just kind of makes you roll your eyes at the other stuff at that point.
Yeah. Surgeons really intrigue me. And there are a couple who I follow now, and they're like a day in my life. And, you know, and here's the thing. Here's why they're so much better than me. Like, they're like, I get up at 3, and the first thing they do is go to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm just like, they don't have to be there till 7 to prep for the surgery. I'm there at 6:59. But these guys, ladies, go to the gym and do all this stuff because they enjoy it and because they know it's going to make them like a better, tougher human being. And then they'll do a couple of cases and they don't get home until 9 at night. And it's, I don't know. Thank God for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Having Nick was born with some problems. He had to be in the NICU for 3 days. And I just remember, and with my mom going through what she did and having like Chrissy, the hospice nurse, we don't appreciate medical people and first responders enough when we're not in the trenches. Like, of course everyone does then, but we should, I mean, you know, people are going through it right now. And something that one of the ER docs that I followed said is like their job is to greet people on terrible days.
Right.
Sometimes the worst day, and try to make it a better outcome for them.
Yep.
That's whew.
Pretty brilliant.
Pretty brilliant.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive. Do you want a couple of fun day facts? A little science
sure.
stuff?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What would your guess be the impact and damage a sewing needle, just a regular sewing needle, would do to the Earth if it were moving at the speed of light?
At the speed of light?
The speed of light.
Ooh,
the
man.
Sewing needle.
Well, it's going to be a buttload. I'd say that would be at least a city killer.
It is the equivalent to 3 SARS bombs, which I'd never heard of before, TSAR, which is supposedly the biggest atomic weapon that we know of. I'm sure we got something bigger that we have, you know, close to the best. But it would be the equivalent of 3 of those.
Yeah.
A needle.
Yeah.
And nuts.
Oof. Good thing not too many things move at the speed of light.
That's right.
Good thing that light is what moves at the speed of light.
Yeah.
Because even like, you know about, what are they called? Rods from the gods. Like it's
yes.
that weapon where you drop,
yes.
What's the metal?
Tungsten.
Tungsten rods. And what are they? Like the size of a telephone pole?
Yes.
And you just drop them from space and it's like a nuclear bomb hitting wherever it hits. It's unbelievable.
What evil son of a bitch thought of that?
I don't know, but that's insane.
It's insane.
Yeah. Like this, what was it?
They made it rhyme.
Yeah, I know. Call it something catchy so it sounds fun as opposed to like
the family got killed
ever.
By rods from the gods.
The other thing I have, so I think everyone knows that we don't see everything. We have a certain spectrum that we can see, but we see 0.0035% of what there is to see.
The light spectrum, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
0.0035% is what we see. And to give it perspective, if it was from the West Coast to the East Coast, was everything that you can see, we can see a peanut.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
So this is probably a question that is not answered in this, but so other species, though, see differently than we do.
Yes.
So do they, I don't know if they see more or less, but they do see things that we can't see.
Yes.
And then we see things that they can't see.
Yeah.
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 So maybe that explains sometimes when my dog gets weird and I don't know why.
Sees mm-hmm. a ghost.
He was being ghost. Weird the other day, man. He's like running around the basement and like huffing and puffing and like growling. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what is going on? My guess is there was, you know, because we have a cat that lives behind and sometimes the cat runs around our yard. Maybe he smelled that through the windows. I don't know. But it was like, dude, what is going on, man?
Also, this is just a throwaway segment, kind of. I have so much show prep. I typically, you
know. You got to empty the barrels, man.
Yeah. I got.
Holy crap.
Whoa. No, I got like 3 pages of this. I was productive over the weekend. I think I'm done. I know I'm done with Meet the Press. I used to watch it religiously. I love Sunday mornings and, you know, Meet the Press. It's just become a thing now. That no one has to answer a question.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy who I already don't like from Oklahoma named Mark Wayne, what's his face?
Mullins. Oh, the guy that wanted to fight someone.
Yeah, that
Mark,
guy.
Mark Wayne Mullen, yeah.
He was on, and What's-Your-Face, the host, was saying, do you think that Zelensky is a dictator? Probably not the question he wants to answer, but he just said, like, well, here's what I think that needs to happen. Just answer. Yes or no. And I know you're not on trial. You're not. But I feel like I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time.
Yes.
If they're not going to give anything close to a real answer, you don't have to sit there and say yes, no, yes, no. You can expand, but at least come close to answering it. And so I think I'm just done with it.
That's why I can't watch any of it. I don't care who you're asking questions. Too many people just duck and weave.
Yeah, both sides are equally bad.
If you want one of those jobs, part of it is answering to the people. Part of it is answering to us. We don't always get the direct audience with you. We see you or hear you. We see you on TV. We hear you on the radio. Maybe occasionally you'll hold a town hall in your district or whatever. But our opportunities for us to ask you questions are rare. But we still want the answers to those questions. We want to know where the people who represent us stand on things that matter. And if your answers are going to be constantly evasive, we should all tune every one of those people out, and you should not vote for them. And I don't care if what letter is on their chest. I don't care if they're on the team that you root for. The standard should be when you're asked a question, you answer it. Period, the end. And I put some of it on the people asking the questions because they care more about access than they do about getting the answer. If the guy never comes on your show again, too bad. Too bad. That's the price. Keep asking the question.
Rach, you seem unconvinced.
No, I mean, I get what you guys are saying, but I'm over here. Maybe I'm thinking of it the wrong way, but I'm just wondering if asking if this random, is he a senator? Is he a state rep? He's a senator. Like, is that the right question to ask him? Do you think Zelensky is a dictator? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that it takes two to tango, and I think that most talking heads, and I'll even go so far as to say the majority of them on the left are typically asking gotcha questions.
Yes.
Now, I don't think that is one. I think it's fair if the president of your party says something like that.
It's a current topic.
But I get what you're saying, that you can't just fall for every gotcha question that they give to you.
But why not? Why can't you handle the gotcha question? You can ask me any question. I will have an answer. And if it's a gotcha thing, then I should be able to handle that in my area of expertise. Now, am I an expert in foreign policy? No. I'm not a senator. I'm not a U.S. representative. I'm not the president. I'm nothing in that regard. But if you ask me something about what I do for a living, I should be able to answer you whether it's a gotcha question or not.
I don't disagree.
And I think I don't think it's unfair to ask somebody about something that's currently happening. I don't think it was ever once unfair to ask a Democrat if Joe Biden was mentally well enough to run for president. That was never once an unfair gotcha question. It was an absolutely fair question, and we saw how it turned out because everybody recognized that fact later on.
Yeah.
It was not an unfair gotcha question to ask somebody that.
And one of them on the left said, you know what, I don't think he is.
No, and that's my point. And this is the opposite. I'm trying to find examples that fit both political narratives because it's the same dynamic that we're talking about. If you are in that position of authority and power, you shouldn't be able to duck from important questions and you shouldn't be able to hide from anything that is very obvious for you to be able to handle. You know, I'm going on Meet the Press. What's the news of the day? What's the news of the week? I'm probably going to be asked those things. Here's how I'm going to handle it. Why is that hard?
Typical Wheeler.
Why is that hard if you're in that position to say, you know what? No, he's not a dictator. But then here's the problem that we need to solve.
Yeah.
Can you not disagree with the guy in the big seat?
I mean, I think we know the answer is no, you can't disagree with him. So then that's where I come at. Maybe maybe my mindset's in the wrong place, but I'm like, Kristen Welker, I think, is the host of Meet the Press. I just, I, w- I just don't understand the point of like, so do you align with Trump? Like, that's the subtext of the question, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you already know the answer to that, like, just ask him a different question and maybe we can get some different form of information out of him rather than just like, I'm going to nail him to the wall on this one. It's like, well, we all know what the answer really is. Like, even if he doesn't feel like Zelensky is a dictator, he probably is going to do whatever he can to maneuver. I don't know.
My favorite, news stuff is probably the panels. And a lot depends on who's on the panel. But I like the CNN panels that have Scott Jennings on, a conservative.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's the best at standing up for his side and not being a D. And I like David Axelrod. I think he's very smart on the left. So that's probably the only thing I find useful at this point. Anyone who's just a talking head, just here's my show, the Joe Schmo, and I just, why do I care? Welcome back, DGS 326. So this is really cool and sweet, but weird. The first time I ever went to Mardi Gras in Soulard, I was 24 and had one of the best days of my life. It was like 60 degrees and it was awesome. I had a couple bad days there. but this one was great. 24 years old. Phoebe turns 20 next Tuesday. And this weekend she's coming in with her girlies and they're all going down to Mardi Gras for Soulard. And I know that's like big whoop. Who cares? Like my kids have done a bunch of stuff I did. But it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's weird that she's old enough not to legally drink, but it's just weird that she's coming down and going to Soulard like Dad did all those years ago.
I understand.
Get it?
Yeah, I'm having moments like it's not the same because they're not my children, but my nieces, like my niece Catherine is 11 now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like yesterday I was driving her to a family thing and just talking with her. And I'm like, this is just so crazy. Like she is, I hate to say she's like a little adult because she's still 11, but like we can just have a conversation and it's like I'm talking to like a friend and just like a really cool person.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely weird when your adult kids do things that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least things like that, you know? That's super weird.
And I'm worried about it because you're worried about everything they do, especially something like Soulard on Mardi Gras. But I'm excited for how much fun she'll have. Does that make sense? Like just knowing how much fun I had.
Yeah.
Although, could be one of the bad ones.
But you can't protect them from everything, even though you want to. The clothes I'm wearing, and the road goes on forever. And I've got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna catch me, no.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, DGS 334. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
65 degrees outside.
Oh, wow. Nice. That's crazy. Nice. So that nice.
I,
so
yeah, nice. Last week, it was brutally cold, snowing, just a mess. That's why we love St. Louis.
Right. Yeah. You do appreciate it. It's like people that do the dopamine, what's it called? Where you starve yourself of dopamine and then you drink a Coke and ride on a carousel or something. And
that sounds fun. I'd like to do that.
Dave Hines says, imagine trying to use your fake ID after your dad just announced to the world that you're 20 years old. Not sure if I'm projecting, but I think that was a ninja-grade dad move.
Was there a subconscious Dave going, man, I hope this messes it up?
Well, I already know that like there are a couple freshman bars at KU where evidently you can just draw a picture of yourself with a crayon and say that's your ID.
And oh, just, really? On a college campus?
No way.
They just let you in.
No way.
But I think Phoebe's smart. She is. And I think she knows that that doesn't work. Not that she wouldn't try it, but I think she knows that doesn't work outside of Lawrence. So,
do you think it's just kind of weird, like we've just gotten to the point where this is silly? Like, we know that people are drinking way before 21.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and how long has that been the case? Forever. I mean, like, the era that the movie Animal House depicts is not 1997.
No.
So we're talking about at least 70, 80 years that this has been, and it's probably sure. more than that. Why do we keep playing stupid games?
What do you think we should do?
I don't know. I don't have a great answer. But I think aligning all of the big responsibility things to the same age, like if you can vote, you could probably have a beer. If you can go to war, you could probably have a beer. Like, if all of those things aligned, it would make sense to me.
So you'd be comfortable with an 18?
Not comfortable. It's not, but I'm not comfortable with 21 either. You know, I mean, I don't think there's that big of a difference, and we know what's happening. I mean, name a college campus. There are thousands of underage people drinking on that campus every single week. Tens of thousands, maybe, depending on the size of the campus. It's happening. So we... Either again, I don't know that this is a perfect solution. I'm sure have been studies. I know a lot of other places. There are no drinking ages in France or Italy. It's just assumed that you're not going to be stupid, and they don't have any greater problems than we do.
Yeah, if I could wave a magic wand, getting rid of binge drinking,
yes,
would be a big one.
That's the number one thing, of course. And I don't know
how. I doubt that 20-year-olds are going to just like sit around and swirl their Merlot. But if you could keep them from doing Borgs and things like that, that would be good.
The Borgs are good though because they stay hydrated.
And the electrolytes,
yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean,
what's a Borg again?
A Borg is when you take like a gallon. Of milk, like it used to be milk, but now you fill it with like water and liquid IV and vodka.
Now I remember.
You know,
this.
But it's got plenty of hydration in it. I've often thought doesn't sound too bad whenever people bring up the Borgs.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny.
I've read about that, right?
Yeah,
it's funny. It's 60 because I'm not a big drinker. I can't remember the last time I was really drunk, so I don't miss that at all. It was never a thing. It was a thing for me when I was young. But anyway, and we've said this before, but drinking 6 or 8 of anything sounds like a horrible dare.
I'm
drinking a Pepsi Zero right now. If you said you have to drink 4 of these by the end of the show, I'm like, crazy?
No, that's actually a tactic that's used when people are like I knew someone who was going to classes to try to get rid of their DUI or like get their license back. And they said that was something they did in the program, was they were like, okay, so you had 20 beers last night. Imagine drinking 20 Mountain Dews. Like, it just sounds crazy when you say it that way. Why is it okay to, you know, then drink? I mean, alcohol is a poison to your body.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like I never drink or anything like that, but it's not good for you to drink that much.
Yeah.
But we've just normalized
it. I ask these questions about alcohol. I did not drink in college or high school. I don't really drink now, other than maybe 3-4 drinks a month. I've never been wasted. I have never been that way. And I just got done telling you during the break that the last place you'll ever find me is at a Mardi Gras. The last place I want to be is surrounded by thousands of drunk people. But I still think the logical thing is, we know something's happening at an immense rate, and we just pretend it's not and act like, you know, that our current solution is the right one.
I remember, I faked drinking beer in high school, didn't drink in college because I was super religious. I was like the guy from Chariots of Fire. And then when I started drinking in law school, I didn't know how. Like, I literally didn't know how many of these things you have. So I remember being at Bogey South one time, having like a dozen screwdrivers.
Oh, my God.
So 12 glasses of orange juice alone.
So you need some vitamin C there.
And I remember just throwing up, you know, on everything and everyone. Like, you just don't have that skill. Which is why I had my kids get drunk at 8. So.
build up the tolerance.
Build up the resistance.
So, Dave, I know it's going to be nice, but line us out on how nice.
Yeah, you know, tomorrow, almost an instant replay of today. We're 65 right now. I'm going 62, 63 tomorrow, 42 tomorrow night. We'll take that. Wednesday still looks a little changeable sky, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Still think we'll see a couple of very light rain showers Wednesday afternoon. It's not going to be much. 59 on Wednesday. Thursday, it's cooler. Lots of sunshine. It is not cold. 54 degrees. And let's just push it out a little bit. Friday, 63. Saturday, 54. And Sunday, 52 degrees. It does look like that at least the first part of March is going to be okay temperature-wise. And speaking of that, the spring forecast is this Thursday at 3:30.
My Lord.
So there's a little clue for March for you anyway.
Okay. Nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So Apple is going to invest $500 billion in the United States over 4 years and hire 20,000 people for new staff. This is really exciting. It will double the U.S. Advanced Manufacturing Fund to $10 billion and include a commitment to produce advanced silicon in Arizona. So, I mean, anytime it's creating American jobs, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of these big companies and making moves, Starbucks is laying off 1,100 corporate employees as the coffee chain streamlines. This is a restructuring effort by the new chairman and CEO, Brian Nickel. The layoffs will not affect baristas in the company's stores. These are just corporate people being laid off.
Okay, question. Overall, because when I was at Emmis and we had the 2008 meltdown, we had 4 stations and 120 people, and we fired half. And guess what? They never came back. We were able to run 4 stations with 60 people. Now, some people had 2 jobs, and most of us worked more than we should have. But do you think that overall we have had too many people at pretty much every company, that we could have gotten away with a lot less people, but we just overhire?
Yeah, I do. I've been through that so many times on the television side, too. Went through that with you, Dave, in 08. And you learned, you know, you panic. Everybody panics. Oh, man, they're going to cut our staff in half. But, you know, you don't have much choice but to do it. You got to do your job. And do you have to do the job of 2 or 3 other people? Yeah, probably. You just do it.
Well, I mean, yeah, you do, but I mean, is it better?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, that's kind of the question that I have with all these. It's not necessarily that you can't do it, but is it actually, is the product better? Is your customer service better? Is the quality of the work that you're getting better? And if you're finding that it is, then you made a good move.
Right.
Right? If you can cut 1,000 people and not lose a damn thing, then you probably made a good move.
Do you feel that any company, corporation, government has a duty in any way to hire as many people as they can and still be profitable?
No duty.
No, no duty at all.
I do find it distasteful, though, when companies are making massive profit and it's not enough, so we're going to fire people. I'm not a fan of that, but I wouldn't call it a duty.
Like, do you think what the government's going through now with laying off people and firing people, that companies, other companies, privately, publicly owned, are taking advantage of that situation? Say, hey, look, country's doing it.
Kind of like they have a
like
pass.
Cover.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't surprise. I mean, they've done it with other. I mean, we've caught just how many? We just caught them recently, Dave, the industries that jacked up prices even though they didn't need to because they knew they could get away with it based on the circumstances around it.
So this may be an unpopular opinion, but I don't mind the cutting. I've been saying forever that the federal government was bloated and too many jobs being duplicated and too many people doing stupid stuff. What I don't like about what's going on now, and I don't even, I promise you, it's not that it's Trump. It's mostly Elon Musk. He has such a punchable face, and he's being so mean. These are not Russian soldiers we're dealing with. These are American citizens. And the whole, like, you know, FCC RIP, and, you know, you have 2 days to justify your existence by sending me 5 bullet points. There are ways to do things where we could thin down the herd and save some money, and I am completely for that. But the way they're doing it is very distasteful to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw a video yesterday of a guy that spent 10 years serving in the Marines, some of it in combat, and his job was working at the VA hospital to help injured, wounded veterans, to help. That was his job. And all of his people that he worked for, his immediate supervisors, graded him out as one of the best. He got fired out of nowhere. A guy who is a veteran helping other veterans and just randomly cut. That's because the nature of this is not targeted at areas where there's fat or at areas where someone's not doing a good job or whatever. And that is the danger of just cutting branches off instead of pruning the smaller ones.
Yeah, like, sometimes it's a bottom line thing. It may have nothing to do with how good you're doing your job. New company comes in, whatever the case may be, and say, who's this guy? And I sound like I'm talking from experience. I am. Who's this? Who is this amount of money? And why? And if your boss can't justify that, you're gone.
Yeah, but in a lot of these cases, it's not even getting to that question.
True.
This guy that I'm referring to, this retired Marine veteran, his supervisors didn't know that he was being let go. He got an email saying, you're fired, and he called his boss, and he's like, do you know about this? And his boss is like, nope, let me check the guy that runs our VA hospital. Goes to the very top of the food chain. Not one person knew. Not one person called and asked them. And
should
that's
never
the
done
danger.
By email.
Right, and never it should be never done be just email. Done randomly. It should be done with specific intent and focus on detail. And I want to know when the cuts start hitting the people at the top of the food chain. That's what I want to know. If we're going to start cutting the fat is at the top. That's where the fat is. That's where all the people make the most money. So if they're going to start sharing in the pain, wonderful. But you think Elon's going to share in the pain? You think Bezos is going to share in the pain? Do you think CEOs are going to share in the pain, or is it just going to be us working schmoes?
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Welcome back, guys. 3:53. Skip's going to be here at 4. We're doing the Sweet 16 of Best Historic Movies. Sean Rogers online, daily podcaster, checking in about a month behind. That would make me happy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If I dug this podcast, which I would, when I have like Sasquatch Chronicles backed up, that's nice.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
You yeah.
Stuff in the bank, ready to watch.
If you are watching online, I just took my my hat off to scratch my head. And
that was you?
And I know. I live with me. I wash this twice a day, and I looked in the camera. I'm like, oh,
who's that guy?
I stepped out of the room, and when I walked back in and I looked at the camera screen, I saw you with that. I didn't even look at you like a foot away from me without the beanie. I looked at the camera screen and saw you without the beanie, and I was like, whoa. Like,
no, it's two different guys.
Stranger danger.
Mm-hmm. I like Hat Dave better.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you like, so you,
I mean,
like,
it hides half my head.
Do you like Hat Ronge better?
What's that?
Do you like Hat Ronge better?
I've only seen non-Hat Ronge twice. At the Odyssey Awards.
Right, because at the nicer events, he goes hatless.
I like that it's only two times, and it's an event that's only been held two times.
Yes, it's literally the only time I've seen him.
It's not a common thing.
So Rach and I had our door to the office shut, but it's a glass door, so you can see right in. And last week, Ronji, remember that?
Yeah, he just like pressed himself against the glass. I was like, what is he doing?
And then we gave him the like, and then he just kept doing it. And I'm like, I don't know what to give him.